Well, good evening and welcome to another 2 hours of Jewish Soul Music. I'm your host, Charlie Bernhout. Each week I try to bring you the best of a mixture of everything from the golden oldies of the 60s and the 70s and the 80s or whatever, and now we're Chazanis, and thank you so much for your feedback. I got a lot of interesting comments. I'm not going to discuss them this evening because I want to get right to a two-hour special about a cantor, Leibele Waldman, one of the greats of the golden age of Chazanis. Yesterday, Harvey Waldman, cantor Harvey Waldman, came to my apartment and we recorded this two-hour special in honor of his great father, Leibele Waldman. So without any further ado, let's get on to the interview. There'll be a lot of stories and some of his great recordings, recordings of Leibele Waldman. I know we have a lot of fans out there of Leibele. Again, thank you so much for your feedback and your comments about my survey. I'm very pleased to have with me once again Harvey Waldman, the son of the great cantor Leibele Waldman. A few years back, about 15 years ago, we did a Waldman special, and I'm so pleased that we're preparing for a second one. Good evening, Harvey.
Good evening, Charlie. It's a pleasure to be here with you again.
Good. Thanks for agreeing to do this special about your father, who was one of the greats of the golden era of Chazanis. Before we get into the music, I know there's a few things that we'd like to discuss. First of all, why don't you tell us a little bit about your father's background and his history with Chazanis? When was he born, and where did he daven, and so forth?
Well, my father was born in 1907, and he passed away at a very early age of 62, and in 1969.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, just before that, he was still in the prime. His voice was still in its prime.
Mm-hmm.
As you will hear soon on some of the tapes and CDs that you play, because that comes from a live davening in Chicago at the Loop Synagogue. And my father was a very modest man. Whenever I would say something about his davening, he would turn red.
Really?
Yeah, I never heard him speak about himself.
Mm-hmm.
But yet there were always chazonim coming into the house. I wasn't interested in chazonis until I was maybe 17 or 18.
Really?
I never sang as a kid, as most chazonim do.
Well, I know your dad performed at many weddings. You didn't accompany him at the weddings?
No, I drove him to weddings.
Uh-huh.
I drove to weddings, but uh-huh. I didn't. I sang in kiddie shows when I was 15, but chazonis didn't. You know, I didn't understand what the fuss was at the time.
Uh-huh.
Until I delved into it at around the age of 17 and 18, around that time, and I saw many people coming and going into the house. And
where was this in Brooklyn?
In Brooklyn, uh-huh. Yes. We lived in Brooklyn for a long time. Then we moved out to Bell Harbor in the 60s.
By the way, your dad was one of the few of the greats who was born in America, from what I understand.
I believe he's the only of the legendaries, mm-hmm. that I believe was...
Right.
When I read biographies about cantors, that's,
yeah, sure. Most of
that's
them
what
are,
I hear.
Sure, most of them were in Eastern Europe and the like.
Yeah. Yeah. But his first language, I'm sure, was Yiddish.
Uh-huh.
So he came from a Galiciana family.
Gotcha.
And since our last program, so many things have happened. We have an internet. We have We have so many sites popping up.
Oh, you even have a blog, labelwaldman.blogspot.com.
Well, that just began.
Uh-huh.
And I met a gentleman by name of Mordechai Sobel.
Yes, legendary, yes.
Mordechai Sobel came to my house one day. I had never known of him. And he said, I was living at the time in East Brunswick near my shul. And he came to my home. And I think his first words after our greetings were, "What kind of voice was that?" I didn't understand what he meant.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking at him, and he says, "You know, I won, you didn't know," he says, "but I received my scholarship at Juilliard because of your father." I said, "Well, how would I know that? This is the first time I'm meeting you. How would I know that?" He says, "Well, I did his version of Leficha Nachnu Chayovim, and I won first prize."
Interesting.
"And that's how I got my scholarship." So because of his rendition of Lefichach,
mm-hmm.
which was written by Israel Shor,
okay.
who also wrote Shia Bona Beis Hamikdash.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I played Shor about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and he's singing his selections, and several people mentioned they didn't realize that Shor was the composer.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's interesting about Sobel, and since then you've had, I'm sure, a lot of contact with Mordechai.
Well, Mordechai invited me to a special memorial concert that he was having in memory of my father,
uh-huh.
which was going to take place in the Mann Auditorium. And this, of course, was a shock to me. He said, "We have it all planned out."
Wow.
"And I'd like you to be the guest of honor."
Wow. What year was this about? Or how many years ago?
I'd say about 10 years ago.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Maybe 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. And when I walked into the auditorium, I stayed at the Dan, by the way. He made special arrangements. And even took a few of my nieces with me. I mm-hmm. have one niece who lives in Israel.
She
made Aliyah.
Right.
And they came to the concert too. They sat in the front row. It's just too bad I never recorded it.
Well, didn't Sobel record it?
No, he never recorded it.
Oh, my goodness. What? I'm sure there were people in the audience who recorded it. We'll have to, anybody listening to the program who was at that wonderful event, if you have the recording, you got to contact me so I can make sure that Harvey gets that. But so you were at the concert.
At the concert. The soloists were Dudu Fischer,
uh-huh.
Who I met for the first time.
Right.
Chaim Herstig.
Oh, yes. Chaim Eliezer Herstig, yes.
Moshe Shulaf.
Yes.
And Ari Klein.
Okay. You had some good
And, of course, it was he had Dudu told me a very funny story I think you'd get a kick out of.
Okay.
I had a chance to talk to all of them afterwards to thank them for doing such a marvelous job. Dudu said something very funny that I thought. He said, "You know, the first Chazonish piece that I ever learned was your father's Ruzza de Shabbos."
Your father's Ruzza de Shabbos?
Yeah. He said, "I never knew that Pinchik recorded the Ruzza de Shabbos." He says, that was the first piece. He says, and he goes on to say how his father was a big follower of my father's work.
Interesting.
And then Shulov was a very nice man.
Yes.
Very nice guy.
Yes.
He came over and he says, "You know, I did the," he did the Odom Yesod de Mayof. He says, "I almost didn't make it vocally."
Oh.
Which is.
Yes. Interesting.
Quite a modest thing to say.
Yes.
The range on it.
Mm-hmm.
My father was considered a lyric baritone, but he was he could go down to bass, and his high tessitura took him up into, I think he had about a 2.5 octave range.
Really?
But his top notes, which you will hear later on
right.
in the tapes,
right.
sound like, if they're produced right, and sound like A and B flats. As I said before, I didn't get into chazonot, and I was wondering why these people, until I was about 17, but people were always coming into the house.
Mm-hmm.
I know one particular man was Maxie Pollock, who was his choir leader. Maxie was looking over the records. We had discs on
sure.
our hi-fi.
Sure.
And he was looking over the disc. Most of them were transliterations of Chazon Hashe pieces. And he called me over. He said, Harvey, what's this piece? I can't make it out. I said, let me take a look. I said, Charlie.
Okay.
I said, Maxie, that's Besame Mucha. We were dancing here.
Okay.
Maybe
okay.
last week. And then gentlemen, remember an elderly gentleman by the name of Beinhorn would come to our house. Must have been a chazan at one time.
Yes, I think I have some old recordings of Beinhorn. Yes.
Beinhorn, I want to clear up. Beinhorn was never a teacher of my father, which has been something spread around.
Mm-hmm.
He did write
mm-hmm.
for my father, and I believe that the best compositions that my father did were never recorded, like his Ahava Rabba, which takes, it's too long to really record a number like that.
Yeah.
Or Bame Madlikin.
Well, a lot of people don't realize that the early records, the discs, had time limitations on them.
This is
before the introduction of 33 RPMs or even tapes. If you go back to the 78s, which my collection is started with the old Victrolas, the great recordings were limited to perhaps 4 or 5 minutes, and even Pinchik's original Rosa de Chavez is on two sides. You had to know to flip it over. To actually, some people used to just play the first side, not realizing that. I think I once did that also, not realizing that the second side was a continuation. That's back in the early days. So there were those limitations.
Yes, in fact, one of his recordings, Kol Nidre, is cut. It's he doesn't even do a full Kol Nidre.
Mm-hmm.
His accompanist, Harry Lubin, went on to Hollywood to write for the movies.
Really?
And if you see old movies, you might see the name Harry Lubin.
I see.
Because he told me that Harry Lubin was just a fantastic musician.
Really? So, was he involved in that great movie that your dad did about the Chazana Proba? That's classic from the 30s, I believe. And your dad played all the different roles of the different Chazanim coming in for an audition.
Well, there was a gentleman by the name of Joe Seiden.
Okay.
Who decided that he was going to produce, as they called them in those days, Jewish talkies. Now, 1929 was the first English sound movie, The Jazz Singer.
Right.
And Seiden started in 1932 with his Jewish talkies.
Interesting.
And I have in my home two marquees. One spells Waldman wrong, with two N's at the end.
Uh-huh.
And Secunda is spelt also incorrectly. One was a Passover feast written by Shalom Secunda.
Interesting.
And if you have seen this this movie about the Chazonim of Prabha,
yes,
it was a Secunda composition.
Oh, really? It's so classic. Your dad looks so young and youthful. And, of course, in the end, when he comes out as the jazz, the poop-a-doop, this is what the public will. It was great.
He wasn't too proud of that. I must tell you the truth.
Really?
He wasn't too happy. The voice was not developed. He was too young.
He was very young, yes, you can see.
Yeah, and even though at the age of 9... I understand, he officiated at the pulpit with a choir.
Interesting. In Brooklyn?
I don't know where that was. I imagine it might have been in the Lower East Side.
Gotcha.
How they allowed children under the age of 13 to officiate, I still don't understand. But when it came to a Wunderkind, I guess they made...
Exceptions. By the way, do you have any brothers or sisters?
I had two brothers who have passed on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Were they involved with Chazanus as you were?
No, my one brother was a rabbi.
Oh, okay.
And one brother was I have a twin. I had a twin.
Wow, I'm sorry. Sorry to hear that.
Trumpet player.
Really,
a fantastic trumpet player. He played with. In fact, he met Harry James at one point.
Uh-huh.
He played with Xavier Cugat on tour.
Interesting.
And he also walked in on Gower Champion one day while he was shooting Carnival. And Gower looked at him and said, what do you do? What are you doing here? Well, I played a trumpet. I thought maybe you can use me. Oh, let me hear you do something. He played trumpet, and sure enough, he wrote a part in for him.
Interesting. Did any of the grandchildren find their way into Chazanus at all?
No. In fact, I must tell you that my children think that I sound like my father. Now, isn't that funny?
Well, that's a great compliment, obviously.
Well, that's how much they know about Chazanus.
Okay. Okay. How did it feel being the son of such a great chazan?
Once again, it was late, and I know people were making a big fuss about him coming into the house and writing music for him. Don't forget that he was on the radio for 25 years, live, every Friday.
I didn't know that.
Every Friday and every Sunday.
Really?
So his repertoire had to be huge. It required many people. Avram Singer almost wrote for him alone. And today everybody's singing Singer's numbers.
Well, and Singer, Singer wrote all those great Yiddish selections. I'm sure we'll hear a couple of them. But there must be recordings of those shows. Have you ever tried to search the old broadcasts?
I've never been able to find. You know, I recorded on my tape recorder. I had an old Revere tape recorder, and I used to record his broadcasts. I have no idea where they are.
Oh, my goodness.
I must tell
treasures, you treasures.
When it came for me to decide to become a chazan, which was in my 20s, because I was heading into finance at the time, I was doing both at the same time. I made the mistake of trying to copy him vocally, too. It took me a while to find out who I was vocally.
Interesting.
So that didn't happen until the late 30s.
Hmm. When you say the late 30s, you mean your age?
My
or the 30s?
Age, my
yes,
age.
Yes, because right. It was in the 1930s.
Right. My age, it was in the late 30s.
Uh-huh, got it. Okay.
And I went that. From teacher to teacher until one fantastic woman who sang in the Hungarian Opera Company.
Uh-huh.
Happened to be in Staten Island near the shul where I was davening at the time.
Interesting.
And she said, I'll help you undo the damage.
You know, Harvey, it's so important for these young chazanim to have a good teacher. I personally am not aware of, who are the great ones, the good ones, the not so good ones. I just know that a bad teacher can help ruin your voice as well as a good teacher can help make the voice. And it's so important to go to the right teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And these young fellows really don't understand the importance. I shouldn't say they don't. Some of them do, to keep up with the lessons, because I know even the greats of today still go for lessons. They know that they must constantly be coached to make sure that they're on the right track.
I truly believe that my father was a self-made man as mm-hmm. far as vocal. I know he didn't take lessons.
Okay. Well, there are exceptions. Of course, there are exceptions.
As a child.
Of course, there are exceptions. But
I don't recall him going for voice lessons.
Right.
I have a feeling that he was greatly influenced by Yossele Rosenblatt. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. And I heard during my life many stories they told me about Rosenblatt and the involvement that he had with Rosenblatt.
Right.
In fact, the last concert that Rosenblatt gave before leaving for Israel was in Richmond Hill, and he called my father to participate with him. And my father had two engagements at the time and said, but I'll be down there. And he came in and he was listening to Rosenblatt sing, and then Rosenblatt called him up to the pulpit,
mm-hmm.
and introduced him. He says he introduced him to the audience and said, "I'll be going to Yisrael, and
wow.
I want to leave you a young chazan who I think you will enjoy." And I don't know if I'm going to be returning.
Wow.
Since then...
By the way, that was 1933, because Rosenblatt died in 33, and your dad was born in 1906, did you say?
1907.
1907. So he was 26 years old at the time.
I never did look up the numbers.
No, I'm just realizing. I mean, he was really...
He was on the radio already... Uh-huh. He had made some movies,
mm-hmm.
but I'm sure his style had not
developed. Right.
But I also was told that during the time that my father's voice changed, that he led a choir for Rosenblatt.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long, where it was, but I did hear that. And my father would tell me stories that when Rosenblatt would sing,
mm-hmm.
There'd be 1,000 people in the synagogue, and Caruso had his special seat there, by the way, and 2,000 people outside the synagogue trying to just hear him.
Yes.
And the policemen had to come out on horseback.
Wow.
And you see his stories like this.
Yes. Well, we are ready to play the first selection, which is a favorite of yours, I know. It's Mein Zaidis Cholam. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how this particular selection played such a role in the life of your dad?
Well, I know it couldn't be the disc or the music itself. I believe it was sheet music that made its way all over the world. And his picture was on the sheet. In those days, they had sheet music.
Yes.
And his picture appeared on the sheet music as though he was the composer, but he wasn't the composer. It was Avram Singer who was the composer. Mm-hmm. And the man who read Torah for me in my most recent shul told me the story that he was in a concentration camp. And the Germans did not harm him. In fact, they came to him very often. They wanted to hear him sing that particular song.
Fascinating.
And that's the second time I heard that story.
Interesting.
So,
For those of the listeners who are not fluent in Yiddish, and I'm one of them, why don't you just tell us what the song relates?
Well, it's my dream of Grandpa, or my grandpa's mm-hmm. dream. He's dreaming of Grandpa, and he's asking his grandpa, well, how are things up in heaven? How are the Jews being treated up there? And a voice comes back and says, well, very busy. Things are very busy up here. My shalichim, messengers are going up and down, down and up, up and down. It's a rash and a ketimel. It's very noisy up here, he said. But the Jews have left the service of my service, and they will suffer. It's important that they get back to following my ways so that they do not have a strife back on earth. And that's the basic theme of the song.
Any idea when it was recorded? About what year?
No, I don't.
Okay. So let's hear a classic, and it's in Yiddish.
By the way, it's Mordechai Sobel added an orchestra
uh-huh.
to this particular rendition.
Okay, so let's hear this upgraded version of Mein Zaidi's Cholom, my dream of my grandfather, or my grandfather's dream.
Mein Seidu le Maschulem Ich gekommen mir zu Chulem Ob ich ihm gefragt Seid in you Was du Wut sich auf jener Welt Zu is mir dort zufrieden Was mir tut zu uns hin In Herz ich nur zu, was mein Seiden hat mir der Zeit. Es läuft in Schelichim, Tzadik im Aluchim, Eile Beyode Magof in Es läuft in Schelichim, Zadike, Maluchim, es läuft in Schelichim, Zadike, Maluchim, Arof, in Arof, Arof, in Arof, Arof, in Arof. Oi, es ist ein raschen Agitimum, oi, mein Himmel, in mein Beit, oi, riboi, noi, scheloi, elohum, soll schon nehmen, In Moishe Rabbeinu Bein. Oy Avinu Malkeinu Avinu. Avinu Avinu Malkeinu. Malikel beinu avinu Unser Futter im König hat das irische Volk dann gelitten noch wenig Oh! Dein Beten, was teugt dein Teinen? Ob du hast vergessen, will ich dir der Mannen. Hab ich nicht gewohren, kol Jesruel Haverim, lo Yeluchem, Elohim Acherim. Weil ihr werdet sein euch zu Riss, in ihr wird nicht hoben keine Rette. Eure Beuleuche, euer Name, eure Beuleuche, Oyre boy noy shelo elo bom MSM SM 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 as du bist gerecht deine Kinder deine Kinder Deine Kinder geworden sind in Schlamm. Aber du bist doch unsere Tate. In mir deine Kinder. Beweise du uns noch am Buch deine große Winde. Weil du hast als Taten euch deine Pflichten, als du sollst nicht losen deine Kinderlech vernichten. Wie es hier vorbei ist, gefieden von Mitzrayim, Sklaven sind in Segewein. In Bosir, ob sie zu gesund bin, ich bin nicht mehr geil. Moishe, freg ich dich allein. Hashem, Eloike, mir bin euer Gott, so sehr davon, bei dir zum Gebot. Wer ihr sich der Problem in euch jeden Nirisch Kind, geroche im Hof alle Boni wo. Forgive me, say.
Mein Zaidi's Cholam, wonderful piece.
I have something funny about this.
Okay.
There's a gentleman in Brooklyn that loves this song. Well, he's a diamond dealer. And twice he's called me to get him copies of this. He tells me that he's in a very stressful business. He's in the diamond business. And the person he travels with alongside of him knows that when he gets upset, this person shoves into the cassette player Mein Zaidi's Cholam, and that calms him down. He says, I can't do business unless I have been without that tape.
Interesting.
For a long time.
Wow.
Can you get it for me? I said, I'll have to, it's being produced now by somebody in Israel. Just hold off, I'll get you a copy. And he says, you know, my two daughters love that. We sing that all the time at home. And they grew up with that song. And I must have it because I can't do business without it. I said, I can understand. I forget his name, but... and then right after that, they released it, and Mostly Music was selling it.
Yes.
So he's got plenty of copies.
He's able to do business
now.
Now. Okay, our next selection is Hana Shomaloch. It's from a live Slichas Davening. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this?
Well, as you can imagine, every time my father davened, there were many chazunim and aficionados that came with small tape recorders to tape them.
It happens today also.
Yeah. We know of one.
Yes.
Who has a wristwatch.
don't reveal that.
But he's a nice man.
Yes.
And he lives and breathes chazunas.
Yes.
But nothing, there was nothing ever really recordable. In 1967, he officiated for the High Holidays in Chicago in the Loop Synagogue. And unbeknownst to him, the president of the shul hired a goy to record the whole service. Now, he didn't know about this. And after he passed on, 2 years later, the president sent a complete set of the whole service.
Right.
Which happened to be excellent. It was professionally recorded.
Interesting.
And we finally had a copy that... that we could use to give people a good idea of what he really sounded like.
Wow.
At the Umid.
Well, Harvey, I have a request. Okay, I'm doing this over the air. I know it's live, yeah, so I'm putting you on the spot. You know, for the past Slichas, I played several complete programs, 2 hour programs of live Slichas davenings.
Uh-huh.
And I'm hoping that you'll allow me to play this for next Slichas on the program. You'll consider it.
Yeah, there were some parts that with a choir. Don't forget, this is a pickup choir.
Okay.
This wasn't a regular choir.
It's okay.
And
we want to hear your dad and his improvisation and the beautiful.
Well, there are two pieces that we have.
Yes,
here.
Well, this will be a vorspeise of,
yeah,
of what's
is,
to come.
Hanashem Aloch, and later on you have
Moron Divishmaya.
Moron Divishmaya.
Right. Okay, so let's go on to Hanashem Aloch, and this was recorded in 1967 at the Chicago Loop Synagogue.
Yeah, this will give you a good idea of what it was like to have a choir. You know, years ago, Charlie, every shul had a cantor and choir.
Yes.
It just wasn't the cantor with a choir going,
Yes.
Yeah. The choir actually had a part to do.
Yes.
And they would work together back and forth.
Sure.
And this will give you an idea of what it sounded like.
Just as an aside, regular listeners know that I'm a proponent of choirs. And if you read the biographies of all the great cantors from the Golden Age, one of the things that runs through consistently is that they all sang in choirs as young children. And something happens within them, I believe, when you catch someone at a young age who really believes what they're singing in particular. But if you get someone 9, 10, 11, 12 years old and they're singing in a choir, particularly if they're singing with one of the greats, they themselves find a way to become great.
Well, I have a first cousin that lived in Borough Park, and he sang a vimale at my father's weddings and also sang in Ben Friedman's choir.
Uh-huh.
And with Koussevitzky.
Really?
He went on to become a chazan.
Really?
In addition to his business.
Interesting.
And he's, I don't know if he's still singing out in Rockaway.
Is he a Waldman?
Yeah, he's a Dennis Waldman uh-huh. is his name.
Interesting.
And Dennis is a very fine chazan. He followed Cantor Singer in Robert Gordas was the rabbi there, very famous rabbi who wrote many books.
Gotcha. Okay, let's hear from a live davening, 1967, the great Leib Lo Waldman with Haneshama Loch.
Asher lo hayom ehu osohu veyabeshes
Shit, man.
Hayon Behu Osohu, the Yabeshes, your dove, your Toru.
Well, as you can tell, that was from a live davening, and very, very interesting, very interesting.
Well, it gives you an idea of how the cantor worked with the choir. Today, all you hear are pieces and compositions of the Chazonim alone, with the choirs just giving responses.
Well, I know that you're a big proponent of the idea of improvisation also.
Oh, improvisation to me is what makes a great chazan. The person who is able to improvise on the spot and take off. I would compare it to somebody like Ella Fitzgerald in the English field or Tony Bennett, they regarded as great artists because of the ability to improvise.
Just as an aside, I just got in the email a friend, Alex Klein, who I interviewed a few months back from England. They're having a seminar in England, in London, and I believe that Mortzen and Schulhoff are coming, and one of the main topics that they'll be discussing is the art of improvisation. And I wrote back to him and I said, I really want to get a copy of that because I'd like to give it to some of the young cantors who are certainly could use the training.
I recall one Shabbos davening in Rockaway, a terrible shul to daven in Auvergne. I didn't want my father to daven the Shabbos there, but he did. And a fellow by the name of Noah Shaul went closer to the Umid, and he came back to where we were sitting. The people next to me were a bunch of chazonim, all with tape recorders. And he said, "Did you hear that improv? Did you hear him improvise? Do you realize what he did?"
Interesting.
You know,
Noach is really you know, one of the outstanding proponents of chazonis. I've been trying to get him to do an interview. One day, I hope to be able to. Come on. But
recently, yeah. I had a wedding and they asked for a choir to sing at my wedding. So I called this fellow Berger.
Oh, Leon
Berger. I forgot his first name. Mm-hmm. I said, "Leon, I need a choir for a wedding. You think you can put together a choir?" He says, "Yeah, I can do it." "How much?" $2,000. $2,000.
Why not? Well, they have to rehearse and they have to get together, yes. Interesting. So the next selection is Kilek Achtov.
Right. If you were to go on YouTube, you would probably hear many chazunim singing this version of Kilek Achtov.
Yeah,
I think it's sung in synagogues throughout the world.
Yes, it's a classic. Okay, who composed it?
Reutemann and
Reutemann. It wasn't Himmelstein, was it?
No, Romschinsky maybe.
It could be.
I may be wrong, but
okay.
It's the Waldman. Classic. Waldman put it together.
Right. Okay, let's hear the classic.
Sure.
Zeo, Bechol Nisivo Zeo, Bechol Nisivo Zeo. Shalom, shalom, shalom.
Magnificent piece. That was Kilek Achtov, and you know, time flies so quickly when you're having a good time. This is the end of the first hour of a special interview that I'm doing with the son of Label Waldman, Cantor Harvey Waldman. Stay tuned and come back in a few minutes for the second hour.